Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Prolific Fire. I am your humble host, Prophetess Stacy. Thank you for calling Prolific Fire. Prolific Fire is God's altar. On this altar, you will find encouragement to make it through, release a place of release to let things go, renewal, a second chance to start over. So feel free to call and talk and release your burdens on the altar. I will be taking your prayer requests later during the show. But right now, I'm going to play a song to set the mood.
Something happened.
Yeah, yeah.
Something happened.
second right now. And just call on the name of Jesus. Something up. When I call. Come on, whatever situation it is tonight.
Whatever the situation is, just give it to God. Call on Him. Something happens when you call on the name of Jesus. As I was preparing for the show earlier today, I asked the Lord how He wanted me to start the show. And He let me know that a whole lot of y'all out there, that the thing that's crippling you all is not arthritis. The thing that's crippling you all with everything that's going on in the world is fear. And He told me to start the show by reading Psalms 91 from the Amplified Bible. It says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On him I lean and rely, and in Him I confidently trust. For then He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Then He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings shall you trust and find refuge. His strength and His faithfulness are a shield and a buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror of the night, nor of the arrow that the enemy plots and slanders of the wicked that fly by day, nor of the pestilence that stalk in darkness, nor of the destruction and sudden death that surprise and lay waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you." I love this part. It says, verse 8, "Only a spectator shall you be, yourself inaccessible in the secret place of the Most High, as you witness the reward of the wicked. Only a spectator shall you be, you yourself inaccessible in the secret place of the Most High, as you witness the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your dwelling place, there shall no evil befall you, nor any plague or calamity come near your tent. For He will give His angels a special charge over you to accompany and defend and preserve you in all your ways of obedience and service. They shall bear you up on their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent shall you trample on the foot. Because he has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he knows and understands my name, has a personal knowledge of my mercy." When you have a personal relationship with God, you don't have to worry about anything. If you know about His mercy, if you know about His love and His kindness, and you trust and rely on Him, you know that He'll never forsake you, no, never. The complete verse says, verse 14 of Psalms 91, "Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver Him. I will set Him on high, because He knows and understands my name, has a personal knowledge of my mercy, love, and kindness, trusts and relies on me, knowing I will never forsake Him, no, never. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." When you have a relationship with God, you may be in the world, but you're not of the world. Therefore, you shouldn't be worrying about what's going on in the world. I read you the scripture just to show you God's protection, but that does not mean don't use common sense. He gave us the word, but He also gave us common sense. So I hope that made somebody feel better. You are protected. God is with you. But if you need to, use common sense. And we're going to play another song to just set the atmosphere before the word comes forth. Thank you, 334, for calling. And, of course, I know who you are. God bless you. Oh,
burn the fire of God right now where you stand.
Enjoy the worship song. Now it's time for the word. The message that the Lord gave me for my premier show of Prolific Fire is entitled Embracing the Rejected Promise. The foundational text is 1 Samuel 16:1-3. And I'm going to read from the NIV. It said, "The Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king.'" Verse 2. "But Samuel said, 'How can I go? Saul will hear about it and kill me.' The Lord said, 'Take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate.'" Short verses, but God gave me a lot of revelation. I hope it blesses your life. If you're on the phone or on the internet listening, I hope the word will bless you. Thank you for tuning in, for calling. I appreciate it very much. First Samuel 16:1 from the New Living Translation. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "You have mourned long enough for Saul." 1 Samuel 16:1 from the Message Bible. God addressed Samuel, "How long are you going to mope over Saul? You know I have rejected him as king over Israel." Beloved, God says, "How long will you continue to mourn, hold on to, mope over the rejected promise, favoring that which I no longer favor for your life?" God is saying the same words to you now as he said to Abraham in Genesis 14, verse 13, NIV. After Lot had parted from him, God said to Abram, "Look around from where you are to the north and south, to the east and west. Beloved, it's time to let some things go. God has a new direction for you." Song of Solomon 2:11 in the Amplified Bible. "For behold, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. Conditions are now favorable, and it's time you aligned yourself with this new move of God." How do you align yourself? The first thing you have to do, you have to hear the word. Your faith is built by the word you hear. Romans 10:17, New King James. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The second thing you must do, if you want to align yourself with this new move of God, you receive the word. "Lord, this is me. You're talking to me. My name is all over that scripture. That is for me, Lord." 2 Chronicles 20:20, New King James. "Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." Let me read the scripture backwards to you. "Believe in his prophets, and you shall prosper." But more importantly than that, believe him, believe him, believe him. "Believe in the Lord your God, and he shall establish you." Establish, you shall be brought about, step up, accepted, to make firm or stable. God shall introduce and cause you to grow and multiply. I like that. Establish, you shall be brought about. Whatever you're in, God's going to bring you out. You shall be brought about. In John 10:27, NIV, Jesus goes on to say, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow, and are led by me." Verse 28, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." Three, the third thing you must do, thank him for the word he just planted in your life. Offer him praise. Psalms 104, the NIV. "Enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise." Praise is simply thanking him for his provision. The fourth thing you must do, worship. Worship is your way into alignment. That's why it was so important that I played worship music before the show started and during the show, because I wanted to get into alignment with what he was saying and how he was saying. Also, worship lets you in, as you would see in this verse. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him. Worship lets you in. It lets you come before him, and that's so important. We must come before him. Come before him with gladness. Worship is simply loving on him for the person he is. In worship, God speaks. I love this verse. Acts 13, verse 2, NIV. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "There is direction in worship." Notice that the Holy Spirit started talking when they were worshiping and fasting. So there is direction in worship. God also talked in worship if we listen closely. their salvation in worship, because no man or woman can fully prophesy or determine your next. That's a God thing. And I can prove it, because 1 Corinthians 13:9 in NIV says, "For we know in part and we prophesy in part." 1 Corinthians 13:9 in the New Living Translation. "Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. So you must listen for God. Consult him personally." The fifth thing we must do, although some of us don't like to do it, we must sow to get into alignment with God's word. Give as an act of faith. "Lord, I'm aligning myself with your word." There are many forms of sowing. You can sow your money, you can sow your time and your talent, etc. Because sowing seals your harvest. Luke 6:38. "Give and it shall be given to you." Sowing seals your harvest. But whatever you do, refuse to be like Samuel, who mourned for Saul, unable to make the transition to the new. Why? Because even in the prophet's eyes, Samuel was an impressive king. He was an impressive young man without equal, a head taller than any others. 1 Samuel 9:2, the NIV says, "Samuel was as handsome a young man as could be found anywhere in Israel." Now, I got to pause right here because that sounds like us. Ladies, how many times have we held on to someone because they look good? They were not good for us. They look good. They didn't know anything, but they look good. They added nothing of value to our lives, but they look good. So we stayed. We stayed because they were familiar, comfortable, simple, believing that sometimes it's easier just to stay stuck. Stuck meaning your life is not progressing. You are at a standstill. And you know what? Secretly, I believe men are guilty of this too. Shh. Don't tell nobody. But it's true. Or perhaps what you are holding on to is not a person, but a place or a thing. Whatever it is, God says the umbilical cord you're holding on to is not causing you life, but killing your life. Cut it. God says, "I have come to give you life," John 10:10. He don't want you living like you're living. Cut it. The Lord said to Samuel, chapter 16:1. "Fill your horn with oil." The horn represents strength. The oil represents the anointing. You are strong and you are anointed. Some of y'all are so far behind God's intended schedule for your life because you're holding on to embracing the rejected promise. When God says no, we must choose to say no. When God says no, we must choose to say no. When God says no, we must choose to say no. That would be good if there was an anthem all across the world. When God says no, we must say no. "Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. Beloved, the anointing will send you out." "Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem." Verse 2, But Samuel said, now this revelation blew my mind when God gave it to me. It'll be 1 Samuel 16:2. "But Samuel said," here Samuel makes the mistake all of us have made. He begins to respond to God without fully comprehending what God has already said to him. It's not enough to hear what God is saying. It's not enough to hear what God is saying, but you must examine the way he said it. It's not enough to hear what God is saying, but you must examine the way he said it. your blessing lies in the revelation you can receive. 2 Timothy 2:15 in the New King James. No, not the New King James, the Old King James. It says, study to show thyself approved. But Samuel said, how can I go? Saul will hear about it and kill me. What Samuel failed to hear in verse 1 was that God has already made provision for him. Don't be like Samuel. Pay close attention to God's words and the wording of his words. I'll say that again. Don't be like Samuel. Pay close attention to God's words and the wording of his words. From his mouth comes your provision. In verse 1, God clearly told Samuel, I am sending you to Jesse. I am, as in I am the great I am. Exodus 3:14 from the Message Bible, God said to Moses, I am who I am. Tell the people of Israel, I am sent me to you. And who is the I am that you can confidently go on your assigned path, even though you are fearful, even in the face of possible danger? John 14:16 in the Amplified describes God, the Holy Spirit, the I am, since they are all one, as number one. He's a comforter. With a comforter by your side, nothing can upset your path. Psalm 71:21 says, thou shalt increase your greatness and comfort you on every side. God will comfort you on every side. He will be right there with you while you're doing what he assigned you to do. Number two, he's a helper. Your way will not get too heavy, hard, or burdensome. He's there to help, to assist you. Psalm 68:19, NIV. Praise be to the Lord, to our God, our Savior, who daily, not sometimes, not whenever he feel like it, but daily, bears our burdens. He's your help. Three, he's an intercessor. He's praying for you every step of the way. But not only is he praying for you, he's praying as you, meaning he takes your problems, your concerns upon himself. God can feel you. He lives to intercede for you. Hebrews 7:25 from the NIV. I'll read that again because I like it. He's an intercessor. He's praying for you every step of the way. But not only is he praying for you, he's praying as you, meaning he takes your problems, concerns upon himself. You don't have to worry because God already has your problem. As a matter of fact, he has you and he has your problems. He can feel you. He's an advocate. When nobody else's voice can be heard, God will speak for you. He will stand in favor of you. When they stand against you, God will speak to you. Mark 13:11, NIV. When nobody else's voice can be heard, God will speak for you. He will show you his favor. And when they're talking about you, standing against you, God will speak to you and give you the revelation that you need to push on through. Number five, he's a strengthener. Don't be afraid. I am your God. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Isaiah 41:10, NIV. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4, NIV. Last but not least, he's a standby. I love this one. He will be there to your defense when all others have walked away. God will be there standing close by. 2 Timothy 4:16 and 17. And he will remain with you forever. People may walk away, but God will remain with you forever. Beloved, okay, wait a minute, back up. 1 Samuel 16:2. Still Samuel said, how can I go? Beloved, a doubtful mind is the killer of your destiny and a waste of time. I'll say that again. Beloved, a doubtful mind is the killer of your destiny and a waste of time. And my reference scripture for that is James 1:6-7, NIV. He who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. 2, you are only challenged, limited by your own mindset. My scripture reference for that would be Proverbs 23:7, New King James. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You are only challenged and limited by your own mindset because it starts with what you think. If you think you can do it, then you can do it. If you think you can do it, then you can't do it. But it starts with you. Fear is not an emotion, but a weapon the enemy uses to destroy your focus. My scripture reference for that would be 2 Timothy 1:7, King James Version and the Amplified Version. I kind of did a remix on that one. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a calm and well-balanced mind, discipline, and self-control. Back to the scripture. Samuel said, how can I go? Saul will hear about it and kill me. Notice what the Lord said in response. Take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Now here Samuel is. He's doubtful about the assignment ahead and afraid of what could happen. And God starts talking to him about a sacrifice, a seed, an offering. Why? Oftentimes, to shift our hearts from doubt and fear to redirect us, God will ask for a seed of obedience, a sacrifice. I'll read that again. Oftentimes, to shift our hearts from doubt and fear to redirect us, God will ask for a seed of obedience, a sacrifice. Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, in perfect alignment. Matthew 6:21. Why? Because God knows once a seed is in the ground, covered, it can't hear. It becomes deaf to its surroundings. And sometimes that's the way we need to be when we got an assignment from God. We need to stop paying attention to our surroundings and do what God said. The seed will become deaf to its surroundings and will only produce what it was called before it was planted. So, if you let go of your surroundings, just focus on what God told you to do and what you were called to do, it'll happen. There's protection in the seed. A seed has to be covered, protected, in order to produce. Therefore, when you need to be covered, protected, sow a seed. Malachi 3:11 from the New King James is a perfect example of this. Sow your seed, offering, tithes, and God will rebuke the devourer and bring forth protection. Take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Verse 3, invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what to do. Beloved, submit to your God-given assignment, and God will show you what to do next. Baby steps are big steps in God's eyesight. Baby steps are big steps in God's eyesight. Check out the definition God gave me for repent, because prolific fire is God's altar. Repent, to open yourself up. It's only when you have blockage and distractions that we err, sin, being led away by our own desires and motives. In order to repent, change, do a 180-degree turnaround, we must open ourselves up to Him. A 180-degree turn means to do a complete reversal in thinking or behavior. So tonight, God, we open ourselves up to You. We repent. We take our hands off. We take our hearts off and stop embracing that person, place, or thing that You have rejected for our lives, realizing that Your favor no longer exists there. We want Your favor, God. Show us what's next. Send us in that new direction. We align ourselves with Your word. We do a 180-degree turnaround. We say no when You say no, and go as You lead, even in fear, because we want and we trust You to be there. In Jesus' name, so be it. This is the end of my message, but right now I'll open the phone lines if you want to call and with a prayer request or comments. If you're on the line and you want to comment or you have a prayer request, mash 1. Or if you're on the internet looking, dial the number. It's 347-426-3782. Okay, I have some prayer requests that I want to pray over. In just a moment. We're going to play this song. It's an altar song, so if you're out there and you need prayer or any type of help or deliverance, you can come just as you are, just like the song. And I'll open the phone line after this. No, I'll open it now. Hello, welcome to Prolific Fire.
Hello.
Hi, Angel.
Hi, Prophetess Stacy. I want to make a comment. I enjoyed the message. You already know that you hit like a lot of good points. It's just like so many. About the even with the steps of 1, 2, 3, I forgot how many you went to. But I mean all of those were good in the when you were talking about, you know, being in love or whatever with a person and, you know, they look good, basically don't have no substance and, you know, letting go and listening to God.
Yeah, because
we've all
been there.
Right. That was good. So I just wanted to let you know it was good.
Okay. Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate your support.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. And here's my prayer list for tonight. Tonight I place on the altar, the first person I place on the altar is my Facebook friend, Chrissy Lomax. She asked to pray for her brother who continues to go in and out of prison. Break the cycle, Lord. Proverbs 26:11. Declares, as a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Help this dear brother to stop returning to his lifestyle, to a place that's not good for him. Every time he does, he's vomiting up, throwing up his future. In exchange for folly, the nonsense of the streets. We break the tie of all bad associations in his life. His character will not be corrupt or compromised. Restore his mind, wash his desires until they are in line with your plans for him. In Jesus' name. The second person is a four-week-old baby who's had open-heart surgery, has a cleft lip, a cleft palate, and two tumors in his stomach. God, Exodus 15:21 declares, "You are the Lord that healeth thee." So, God, I pray that you will be Lord in this precious baby's life, healed from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. In Jesus' name. Number three is Helen Fleming Bowman. Four muscles in her legs are torn, needs surgery. She needs medical and financial provision. God, I stand on Ezekiel 37, verse 6. Tendons and muscles in Helen's legs be restored. Do a medical miracle, Lord. Philippians 4:19 says, "You shall supply all of Helen's needs. Not you will, as though it's coming, but you shall." So gladly I call it done. Angel, if I hung up on you, I'm sorry. Thanks for calling back. Four. Xavier Fleming, deliverance of the mind, attitude adjustment. God, over Xavier, I pray, Matthew 15 and 13, let everything in him that you have not planted be uprooted, and give him the mind of Christ, Philippians 2 and 5. The fifth person, Jeff Davis, he also has a torn muscle in the knee, fluid on the knee, possible surgery. And he needs to be saved, which is the main thing. God, once again, I stand on Ezekiel 37 and 6. Retach tendons and all muscles. Release the fluid. Completely heal, Lord. Show yourself to Jeff. Turn his heart towards you so that he may confess with his mouth, "I am a sinner, and I need a Savior. Jesus is that Savior. I believe he died on the cross for me, was buried in the tomb, but he got up so that I could be free. I confess my sins. I release my sins. Save me, Lord." Romans 10:9-10. But not just Jeff, anybody that needs help. You're tired of going through things on your own? Let God in. The Bible declares he's a friend that sits closer than a brother. Let God in. Pray this prayer in alignment with Romans 10:9-10. If you're on the internet and you're just too shy to call, but you need the Lord, pray this prayer. It really don't matter if you call in or not, just pray this prayer. You need the Lord, you know you need the help to get out of what you're in, pray this prayer. I need a Savior. Jesus is the Savior. I am a sinner. I believe he died on the cross, was buried in a tomb, but he got up so that I could be free. I confess my sins. I release my sins. Save me. It's just as simple as that. Or you can say what I said when I got saved, because I didn't know. Only thing I really knew to say to the Lord was, "Lord, if you don't help me." And he came into my life and he changed my life. So you don't always have to do the proper thing, the protocol thing to do. The protocol thing for me to tell you to do, the proper thing would be to tell you to follow Romans 10:9-10. But God will come in if your heart is sincere. Whatever you decide to tell him, just be sincere about it. Just be sincere. It's just that easy. Now you are saved. Saved, what does that mean? You are delivered. I love this example that God gave me. He says the way a package you ordered gets delivered to your door with the words of your mouth, You ordered God to come into your life, and he has come. You might not see or feel an immediate change. Some do, some don't. But things are turning. Just wait and see. Welcome to the family. Always remember these words from Crystal Lewis's song, "You Can Come Just As You Are." Because, beloved, God doesn't seek to strip you of your identity, but to add definition to it. Beloved, God does not seek to strip you of your identity. You're still the same person, but he's going to take some of your character, some of your likes, and some of your dislikes, too, and some of the things that you've been through, and he's going to turn that thing, he's going to use it for his glory. So you're going to be the same person, but your friend's going to be looking at you because you think different and you act different. You look the same, but you're not the same. It's all a process. It don't happen overnight. It's a process. So if you didn't see immediate change, don't worry about it. It's a process. If you're listening to me and you need private consultation in the things of God, feel free to email the ministry at prolificfire@gmail.com. Prolific Fire is P-R-O-L-I-F-I-C, fire@gmail.com. And the seventh person on the list is all the children I could think of. You can tell I love kids by this list. Seven, protection, wisdom, and peace for the children. Angel, I'm going to try this with all these A's. Thank you, caller 313. Welcome to Prolific Fire. If you want to talk to me, you can mash 1. Or I can keep going, 313. Guess not, but thank you for being here. I appreciate your support. I was in the middle of praying. I was praying for protection and wisdom and peace for the children, for Asia, Angel, Andrea, Ashley, Allen, Stevana, Tamiracle, Janiqua, Khalees, Kiana, Chaz, Alexis, Tyler, Francesca, Topaz, Grace, Angel, Adora, Soknaz, Susan, Tika, Consolata, Malugada, Chanlene, Yama, Deborah, and Brenda, and your children, too. These are just the ones that I know of and got in contact with. We plead the blood of Jesus over our children, believing. We plead the blood of Jesus over our children, believing the enemy will see the blood on the doorposts of their foreheads and pass them by. Thank you for protecting our children. We also place the blood on their foreheads, believing there will be no failed grades, no unaged pregnancies, no bullying, no cyberbullying, no low self-esteem. They will excel, be excellent in every positive thing they attempt for their educational growth, positioning them for great futures. Colossians 2 and 3 declares, "In you, God, are hidden the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Reveal yourself to our children, God. And last but not least, give them your peace." The enemy will not torture our kids, humiliate our kids. We speak revival over this generation. Grant them your peace that surpasses all understanding, and bring unity among them. The eighth person on the list is a friend. She didn't know I was going to do this, so I'm not going to call her name. But, Lord, I have a friend who is struggling in business. She just relocated. She didn't know I was going to do this, so she shall remain nameless. But, Lord, show her favor on every side. Let her business cards fall into the right hands. Create a financial explosion. Listen to the word God gave me when I got ready to pray for her. Create a financial explosion in her business. I ain't never heard those words before. A financial explosion in her business. Bless her life. Encourage her heart. The ninth person on the list is Miss Maddie. Miss Maddie is recovering from cancer. God, I thank you for being a name that's higher than any other name, causing the name cancer to bow, to surrender under your control. Continue to be Lord in Miss Maddie's life. Continue to heal thee. The 10th person on my list for prayer is Aisha. Aisha is a young lady. She has cancer and is starting chemo. Work through the chemo, Lord. Cause cancer once again to bow to your name. We speak remission and long life over Aisha. And the last person on this list is E.T. E.T. has infection in his body and is currently in the hospital. Lord, invade E.T.'s bloodstream and bring forth healing from the inside out. I loved that when the Lord first told me to start praying like that, for him to invade the bloodstream and come from the inside out. Get in his bloodstream and send healing from the inside out. In the words of Nahum 1 and 9, we declare this trouble will not come upon E.T. a second time. In Jesus' name, so be it. These are the people I place on the altar for tonight. I feel I need to go over the message because caller 313 missed the message. I'm just going to go over the highlights of the message for you because I do appreciate your calling. Sorry you missed most of the words, but it was embracing the rejected promise. It was from 1 Samuel 16, 1 through 3. And the verses said, from the New Living Translation, now the Lord said to Samuel, you have mourned long enough for Saul. The Message Bible said, God addressed Saul, so how long are you going to mope over? The Lord addressed Samuel, So how long are you going to mope over Saul? You know I have rejected him as king over Israel. But love, God says, how long will you continue to mourn, hold on to, mope over the rejected promise, favoring that which I no longer favor for your life? God is saying the same words to you now as he said to Abraham in Genesis 14:13. After Lot had parted from him, God said to Abram, look around from where you are, to the north and south, to the east and west. Beloved, it's time to let some things go. God has a new direction for you. I'm just going to give you some highlights. And we went down how to align ourselves with the word when God speaks a word into our lives. First, you must hear the word. Your faith is built by the word you hear. Romans 10 and 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The second one that we said was, you receive the word, Lord, this is me, you're talking to me. Second Chronicles 20:20, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. The third one was, thank him for the word. He just planted in your life. Offer him praise. And that verse came from Psalms 104, into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Praise is simply thanking him for his provision. And the fourth one was worship your way into alignment. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him. Worship lets you in. That's so important. Psalms 102. In worship, God speaks. Acts 13 and 2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, there's direction in worship, because no man or woman can fully prophesy or determine your next. That's a God thing. But whatever you do, refuse to be like Samuel, who mourned for Saul, unable to make the transition to the new. Why? Because even in the prophet's eyes, Samuel was an impressive king. Why I keep saying Samuel? Saul was an impressive king. He was an impressive young man without equal, a head taller than any others. 1 Samuel 9 and 2. Saul says Saul was a handsome young man as could be found in Israel. And we just said that that most times in our lives as ladies, we get hooked up with a man because he looks good. We hold on to him. He don't have any substance. As my caller said earlier, he don't have any substance. He don't know anything, but we hold on to him because he's familiar. He's familiar. He's comfortable. He's simple to us. And instead of wanting to move on in our lives, we remain stuck at a standstill. And as I said earlier, I believe men deal with that too. Whatever it is, God says the umbilical cord you're holding on to is not causing you life, but killing your life. Cut it. I have come to give you life. The Lord said to Samuel in 1 Samuel 16:1, fill your horn with oil. The horn represents strength. The oil represents the anointing. You are strong and you are anointed. Some of y'all are so far behind God's intended schedule for your life because you're holding on to embracing the rejected promise. When God says no, we must choose to say no. But Samuel said, how can I go? Saul will hear about it and kill me. What Samuel failed to hear was that God already made provision for us, for him. And that's a lot like us. God has already made provisions for us with a lot of things, but we failed to hear what he's saying. And one of the revelations he gave me earlier was, it's not enough to just hear what God is saying. We must examine the way he said it. Your blessing lies in the revelation you can receive. 2 Timothy 2:15 in the King James says, study to show thyself approved. Don't be like Samuel. Pay close attention to God's words and the wording of his word. From his mouth comes your provision. Because God had already told Samuel that I am sending you to Jesse. And the I am, as in the great I am, he's a comforter. He's a helper. He's an intercessor. He's an advocate. And he's a strengthener. If you got all those things going with you, you don't have to be afraid, because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. And last but not least, he's a standby. He will be there to your defense when all others have walked away. God will be there standing by. 2 Timothy 4:16-17. And I like this part. It says he will remain with you forever. For love, a doubtful mind is the killer of your destiny and a waste of time. You are only challenged, limited by your own mindset. Fear is not an emotion, but a weapon the enemy uses to destroy your focus. But Samuel is still saying, how can I go? Saul will hear about it and kill me. Notice what the Lord said in response. Take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. And here Samuel is doubtful about the assignment ahead and afraid of what can happen. And God's talking about a sacrifice of seed and an offering. Why? Oftentimes to shift our hearts from doubt and fear to redirect us. God will ask for a seed of obedience, a sacrifice, because where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Because he knows once a seed is in the ground covered, it can't hear. It becomes deaf to its surroundings. It will only produce what it was called before it was planted, sowed. Also, we said that there's protection in the seed. A seed has to be covered, protected in order to produce. Therefore, when you need to be covered, protected, sow a seed. Malachi 3:11 in the New King James says it best, and it's a good example of it. Sow your seed, offer in your tithes, and God will rebuke the devourer and bring protection. Take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. Beloved, submit to your God-given assignment, and God will show you what to do next. Baby steps are big steps in God's eyesight. Check out the definition God gave me for repent, because prolific fire is God's altar. repent, to open yourself up. It's only when we have blockages and distractions that we err, sin, being led away by our own desires, motives. In order to repent, change, do a 180-degree turnaround, we must open ourselves up to Him. A 180-degree turn means to do a complete reversal in thinking and behavior. So tonight, we open ourselves up to You. We repent. We take our hands off. We take our hearts off and stop embracing that person, place, or thing that You have rejected for our lives, realizing Your favor no longer exists there. We want Your favor. God, show us what's next. Send us in that new direction. We align ourselves with you and with Your word. We do a 180-degree turnaround. We will say no when You say no. That's so important. We will say no when You say no, and that'll keep us out of trouble too, and go as You lead, even in fear, because we want and we trust You to be there, in Jesus' name. Amen. And that's the end of the message. I do appreciate everybody that called in, that logged on to support Prolific Fire's premier show. Remember, I will be here tomorrow, same time, 9 through 11 for Central Standard Time, with another message from God. At this time, if you have any prayer requests, comments, phone lines will be open. If not, I'm going to close out. Going once, going twice, going three times. I'll close for tonight. Father God, I thank You for all those ones that called in tonight. God, I thank You for the ones that was listening, God. Most of all, I thank You, Lord God, for using me as Your vessel to impart Your word to Your people, God. I pray that it was a blessing to someone and they got what they need and they received it and they were using it in their lives to create change, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Good night.